I want to give you details about the Terry Fox run coming up on Sunday in just a moment, but we're following this breaking news this morning. An update on the hunt for the suspect involved in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk. President Donald Trump telling Fox News he thinks, in his words, with a high degree of certainty, that they have the suspect in custody.
I don't want to go too far. I'd like to tell you some stories at how it happened, but essentially somebody that was very close to him turned him in.
Now, there are reports that the suspect confessed to his father that he was the shooter, and his father told authorities and secured his son until they could arrive to pick him up. That story not entirely substantiated just yet, but it seems that, as the president alluded to there, someone close helped turn him in there. So we'll continue to be on that story and give you details as we get them here. To Sunday's Terry Fox run. Let's go there now. Herman Holshoff is with me right now. Herman, you're helping organize this Sunday. Where do we go?
It's right in Wisconsin Park. We have a 4-kilometer loop that we do there, and the registration check-in is right behind the T.C. Douglas McKenzie Arts Center buildings.
What time do you want us to be there to register?
Many folks have already signed up online, but those who have not, registration is between 11 and 12 noon, and then the event kicks off at 12 noon.
And Herman, it's all ages, right? Anyone can come out.
Well, exactly. People say to me, oh, Herman, this is a run. And I say, no. It is a run. It's not competitive. It's not like the QC Marathon. You can walk, you can ride your bike, you can bring your pet, you can rollerblade. It's more of a fun day, the sort of day that Terry would want us to have.
And just so we don't scare anyone off here, if you haven't already pre-registered and you just want to show up, it's not as if you've had to raise a certain amount of money, right? Although contributions are welcome.
This is all about Terry Fox. We want to finish it for Terry. Even if you just come on down and cheer us on, that would be appreciated. But we are looking at raising money for cancer research. The Terry Fox Foundation has raised more than $950 million over the last 45 years. And like I said, we want to finish it for Terry. So many people still have cancer. Terry's dream was a world without cancer. So that's what this is all about.
Okay, so Sunday afternoon, the actual walk will start at what?
12 noon. Actually, we have the Regina Pats coming down again. They're going to lead us along the course. We have some bagpipers. And the other cool thing is we have cancer survivors. They wear red shirts, and we're going to just kind of pay tribute to them for being a cancer survivor. And some of these folks actually are still being treated. So that's a really, really special part of the event. They're called Terry team members.
Nice. You know, I had Fred Fox on the show. Fred Fox, Terry's brother, has spent countless hours himself, along with their mother, of course, over the years, spreading the word of Terry's dream. It's pretty emotional, isn't it, this walk run? When people get together and you see cancer survivors and those we've lost in the past, it's a pretty meaningful afternoon, isn't it?
Oh, so much so. And Fred and his other brother are just wonderful people. Daryl cycled across Canada. It's personal for so many people, Greg. In my case, my wife just battled breast cancer. And I know three people right now who are dealing with cancer. And the interesting thing is, young people, you know, children know all about Terry Fox because we also have the wonderful school program. And throughout the month of September, schools across Regina and Saskatchewan will be having Terry Fox run. So it's so emotional for so many people. Cancer seems to impact every family.
It certainly does, sadly. But this is a great opportunity to celebrate those we've lost and to cheer on those that are battling themselves right now. If anyone wants to just show up, it's Sunday. Tell everyone where to go.
Sunday morning, and hopefully the sun will be shining. Just go to the T.C. Douglas McKenzie Art Gallery buildings. We'll have registration tables there. We're also going to sell some really cool Finish It Terry Fox shirts that people can purchase. And all the money, Greg, goes towards cancer research.
It's awesome. Herman, thank you so much for the update. I look forward to it on the weekend and across Saskatchewan. Thanks for enlightening us about the Terry Fox run this weekend.
And thank you, Greg. See you Sunday.
Yeah, emotions are high in Ryderville, 10-2, set to take on the Alouettes tomorrow, and Montreal's quarterback is McLeod Bethel-Thompson. He's going to be taking the helm. They have been on a five-game slide. And given the way our defense has been playing, like, it'll be a monster task if Montreal thinks they're going to beat these guys.
On the second and 12. Goals, they've got him again. Ball comes out. And who's got it?
MBT looks to his left. On the run. Out to his right. Where's he going to go? Down. That's where he goes.
It happens so frequently. We love watching it. Saskatchewan leading the league in sacks. 34 and counting. Malik Carney leads the team with 7. And is having a blast at it. Belton Johnson joining me now, our Grey Cup champ. I think the odds are pretty good that Mr. Carney might be your strongest candidate again to be a beast tomorrow. What do you think?
I'm with you, Greg. You know, the Riders, they've been great all season, right? And, you know, they just when they bring the pressure, you don't know who's coming from where and everything. And when they hit you, they cause havoc. And, you know, with this Alouettes team, you know, the one thing, they've been struggling, like you said, a five-game losing streak. And I definitely got the Riders winning pretty big in this one.
Well, and you look at that defense. Mentioned Malik there leading the way, but he's got 7 sacks. Right behind him, 6 for Micah Johnson. You toss in Shane Ray, Mike Rose, adding to the sack count. There's just so much chaos other teams are experiencing because of this defense. It's pretty incredible that we're living in a time of the Saskatchewan Roughriders with such a solid defense, right?
It is. And, you know, the guys you mentioned, they're all in, what, the top 10, you know, for that category of sacks. And, you know, when you can get pressure and get sacks the way that they've been doing, you know, then the secondary, they're able to feast a bit as well, right? Because, you know, last week, what the Riders had 4 interceptions. You know, Tavon Campbell, he's come on strong here. He had 2 interceptions last weekend. You know, like, it's driving very well, and I think they could keep this pace going all the way through the season.
Belton, take me into the psyche of the players as a former player yourself here. With a win, they can clinch a playoff spot. They are 10-2. There's lots to play for, but at the same time, when you're at the top like that, do you take it easier because you're coasting a little more, or do you use that, hey, we clinch tomorrow as the main kind of material to get this done?
Well, I think, you know, clinching is the main thing, and the thing is with the Riders, I still don't think we've seen their best, you know, as overall as a team. I don't think we've seen that yet, and you know, you cannot let up in this league. You have to put on more steam, right? It clinch, you got the Stampeders still on your heels there. And because I think the ultimate goal is to, you know, again, just to have that home playoff, which, you know, I'm thinking big picture, right? Have that bye week for playoffs and everything. But you still got the Stamps nipping at the heels a little bit. So they have to keep playing strong, Greg.
34-16, I think the Riders win tomorrow. You?
I got them winning 30-13.
Okay, Belton Johnson. We'll see you on the Green Zone pregame show tomorrow. Okay, buddy? Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Lots of excitement for this guy, Keith Urban, coming to town tomorrow night over at the Real District in the Brand Center. But there are a ton of other activities going on, starting at 9 with, of course, the Farmer's Market. And all day long, it's just jam-packed, and so will the parking lots be. Parking will be at a premium. Joining me now from the Real District, CEO Rick Bennett. And Rick, might this be the busiest day ever for the Real District?
Well, it's definitely going to be a, let's call it a gold medal finish if we're measuring it against the Olympics. Yes, very busy. Very, very
Farmer's busy. Market starts. Ready. Yeah, the Farmer's Market at 9. Psychic Fair at the Convention Center. Party in the Park. U of R Cougar Men's Hockey. Manitoba Bisons. Cooperator Center at 2:30 in the afternoon. Rider Game at 5. Keith Urban doors open at 6. Show at 7. Okay, is there any on-site parking opportunities at all here for concert goers? Because most of them will be taken up, I think, by the rider crowd, won't they?
Yeah, you're spot on, Greg. So here's what we're asking of our great members of Regina, the community here. Come early. Give yourself lots of time to move around, not only in the district, but in the adjacent communities as well. Yes, parking is going to fill up quite fast. There is paid parking from 2 to 6 p.m., but thereafter it's free and complimentary. We have tossed in extra ground patrol, more RPS. We've worked with the city on particularly the Louvain exit to ensure that there's longer signalization there. So, you know, we're ready. But again, this is going to take some time just to move around the district.
Okay, so there is no on-site paid parking opportunity for the concert, right?
Correct.
Okay, so it's a free-for-all. Let me poke around a little bit. What about parking in front of the volley barn or around near the pickleball area? Is there parking there?
Yep, there's going to be a little bit out there, but we've got a couple protected areas for additional events that that are being held in the International Trade Center. But again, there's, you know, we would really encourage grab the bus, alternate transportation, ride share, carpool, all the good stuff that is out there and available will make your experience a little bit more enjoyable than wrestling with on-site.
All right. And you're going to have more people, staff assisting, directing traffic in the parking lot you mentioned there too. That Louvain 11th intersection, you're right. I think RPS has got to be there on events like that because you say extend the green light there. Wouldn't it be helpful if you had people there at that intersection?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're working just inside the Louvain exit entrance itself. So where we've doubled down on the amount of staff directing traffic. And we're going to work a little bit harder in the future. We've got a traffic management study underway right now that we're going to finish up middle of October. And we're going to solve this nugget once and for all. We've been at it for a long time, but we're working on a solid plan for the future. Solve it and
well,
make the guest experience a little better.
Well, that would put you up on the top of the ladder for me because they haven't solved it at the SAS Health Center in Saskatoon, Rick. So if you can solve it here, I'm impressed. On a side note,
as
the new CEO, what sort of priorities have you been working on at the Real District since you've taken over?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm really excited about 26 because we're going to be punching well above our weight and reaching out. We've got deep conversations around live entertainment industry. We've got a couple of credible acts we're working on that have never been to the city before. While I can't share names just yet, I can promise you people are talking about Regina as a must-stop destination. So we're working at also, you know, the guest experience overall. Let's regain a little bit of trust with the community. Confident we can do that. And ultimately, you know, it's about packing the buildings with more activities on a regular basis. So I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
Well, Rick, I hear you on that concert. Clearly, you're thinking about outdoor experience of Mosaic in the new year, perhaps. It sure would have been nice to have, say, Morgan Wallen and Brooks and Dunn, who are in Commonwealth Stadium this weekend, a doubleheader. And a bye week next week for them to come through would have been awesome. But Mosaic's 30-something thousand capacity, has it become too small for major acts to stop here? Because Commonwealth, they're getting like 55,000 a night. They seem to want to bypass us now. Is that a problem?
Yeah, I think it's more the population base, Greg, is that the reach that the larger stadiums can capture. You know, Edmonton's a million-plus population, so we wrestle with, we're a little bit smaller city, but if you roll in all the regional areas, we can offer promoters well over a million people stretching to Saskatoon and a little south over to the border into North Dakota as well. So it's a fickle industry. There's limited tours that are out there, but we're working really hard to make sure we gain our portion of what's available.
Well, and we've proven it with, you know, packing Garth Brooks a couple of nights,
right.
The NHL here. We know we can do this. Real District CEO Rick Benham, I guess. Have you had talks with Chapel Roan's management about her desire to come to Saskatchewan in the new year?
Now, you know, Greg, I'd love to see, the answer is yes, we have. She's going to finish up her touring this year in Europe, and there's a number of dates in the U.S. They're going to do a reset, and we're waiting patiently for her to fulfill her promise to come to Saskatchewan.
Given how Saskatchewan's been put on the map from the tourism aspect because of this song of hers, do you see her concert if she comes at Mosaic Outdoors?
Well, that's a good question. I think the answer is yes. We would obviously love to have it in Mosaic Stadium. And we also see rounding it out perhaps with additional acts that are similar generis to Chapel Roan. Work in progress, Greg, but be assured it's an everyday discussion here at Real.
All right. I want you, you know, with the glowing wand, orange wand, and your night jacket directing traffic too, okay, on Saturday night. All hands on deck, all right?
Appreciate it. Thanks, Greg. Let's talk soon.
Some of the breaking news we're following this morning in an update for the hunt of the suspect involved in that shooting death of Charlie Kirk. President Donald Trump said on Fox News that with a high degree of certainty, they have the suspect in custody. And then now in a news conference still underway, the Utah governor there says, "We got him." That's a quote. More on this as we get details. Joining me now, Rick Van Dyvendyk, host of Garden Talk. Here to the rescue with a few ideas about fighting maple bugs. They're getting bad again, buddy, aren't they?
Oh, out at the nursery where we have native maples, they're just everywhere. It's just hordes of them. It's crazy.
And we ask you every year, what do we do about them?
Well, you know what? They're really harmless. So they really don't do anything other than they give you the eebie-jeebies because they try to come into the house. Because they always, this time of the year, when the night's getting cooler, they try to go to somewhere where it's warm, you know, So against the houses where it's the warmest, where the sun's beating up against it. So myself, I just use a my shop vac and I vacuum all up. But they die really easy. You can use insecticidal soap on them. You can use just about anything on them. Even blasting cold water on them really hard. But the blast of water sometimes kills them too. So just doing that, but sealing up your house so they don't get inside. You know, around your where your gas lines come in, your electrical lines come in, around your bottom of your doors, around your windows, basement windows, that anything like that to make sure they don't come in is the big one. And but other than that, they don't bite. They don't do anything. They're kind of harmless. But
don't they leave a stain if you squish them too in your house?
Oh yeah, they do leave a stain if you squish them. So about 3 years ago, I had them really bad in my house, and they got underneath the siding. And the worst thing about them, Greg, is that if you leave them there, they get underneath the siding and they die underneath the siding, and then the next year you got a ton of flies around the house.
Yeah,
so that's just not good.
Okay, all right. Well, you also wanted to give us a little lesson on whether or not we should be watering trees and shrubs right about now. Although Mother Nature is taking care of that to some degree, can there be too much watering, or what are you suggesting?
Yeah, you want to slow down the watering a little bit right now. The rain from the sky is great. That's good. But you know what? Just slow down the watering, and then about mid-October is when you want to give them their last really good drink. But right now, with a little bit of rain coming down, great time to get the fertilizer in the lawn. That's perfect time. With this kind of rain, it'll settle in and get the roots all ready for wintertime, and it's perfect time to do that.
Okay. And text incoming from someone regarding apples and apple maggots. What do you suggest there? Like, what to do with apples that have apple maggots?
Well, the biggest thing, and they do that out in Kelowna and different places in BC where they have apples. If you have the apples that you did have the little brown marks going through the apples, it means you have the apple maggot. You need to pick those apples before they drop onto the ground. Either that or don't worry about them. Just it's all protein, Greg, so it's good to eat anyways. But other than that, pick those apples and throw them in the garbage. Don't put them in the compost. As soon as they touch the ground, otherwise, what happens is that maggot comes out of the apple and then goes into the ground and then pupates as a fly for next year, and it comes up in July again and then does the cycle all over again. So you need to pick those things up, and they do that in BC too. If they have any apples left in the tree, they go through and pick them anyways and then get rid of them.
Okay, Rick. Well, I'll stop you there. I'm out of time. However, I know you've got plenty of time Sunday morning starting at 9. 2 hours of Garden Talk. We'll hear you again then, my friend. Thank you.
Lots of fun. Have a great weekend.